also see the post that I put up there that said that we're actually the 17th ranked games podcast in Australia. I was like, okay, in the games. So like,
there's only 18 of them, though.
Yeah. So we can probably talk about that.
Yeah, I looked at that. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, that's just... because it said Carlos at the end, I thought it was your name.
I just saw random things like stats for board game pod, board game day, and I'm like, this is gonna be some spam, and I I went, oh no, it's the dude from it's like a random thing from an automated email from Apple Podcast. It's like, here's your rankings from how you went, and all right. So is there anything else that we want to have a chat about? Nothing else really? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 8 of the Board Game Gateway podcast, where we lay plan to be your entry point into the world of board gaming, tabletop gaming, and good times. Certainly is a good time.
Especially the good times.
Especially the good times tonight. My name is Neva, and you're going to be your host for this evening. And for the first time since episode number 2, we have the whole crew back at the table. And those, of course, you know them, you love them. They haven't been here all together, so it's going to be a bit of a silly one, I think, tonight. We've already got the giggles, and there are reasons why. If you tune into the end of the episode, you'll hear why. But I'd like to introduce my co-host for this evening, Mr. Ralph.
Hello, everyone.
Mr. Matt.
Oh, hello.
And Mr. Blake.
Hello.
Oh, there it is. He said the thing. He said the line. That's his thing.
Oh. I can't wait till we're doing merchandise. And that's Blake's shirt.
Hello. Oh, he said the thing. That is like we'll go to we'll be big enough that we'll go to a convention. And he'll just say, he'll just one word for the whole convention. Woo!
And my question is for Blake.
Hello. Can you say, can you say the thing?
Stop it. Only I make that. You got the Simpsons reference. You are more than welcome to be here. We're in the middle of laughter. And but look, it's lovely to have you guys back. Oh God, it's been a hot minute since we've had all of us around the table. But in that time, the last time that we were all at the table, we actually hadn't officially launched the project. Yeah, we had recorded it. We didn't actually launch the podcast until
we went live. Until we've all just gone into hiding.
Yeah, some of us left the country.
Yeah, we didn't actually release this until episode 5. So this is the first time since launch that we actually have been here. And tonight if you thought that professionalism was our game, tonight it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got our Gateway Game of the Week, Llama, which we're going to be talking about. We also have a very special segment, our first competitive segment of the podcast. We are going to be doing the Board Game Gateway Draft. Mm. And we'll explain what that is as we get there, but we're very excited about this one. Some of us are more so than others. Some of us are crapping our pants more than others, and you'll find out why. But before we even get to those things, Mr. Ralph, what did you present in front of us?
Oh, I presented and poured very generous shots of Fireball.
Would you like to explain why?
I think we shall. We are celebrating tonight, even though it's a couple of weeks coming, but we decided to wait until everyone was at the table to celebrate our first milestones that we have successfully passed. And we've set some more for ourselves, so we're on the up and up. But the first of the milestones that we passed was we wanted to get our Facebook group past 50 members, which we did within the first 48 hours, which is fantastic. We weren't expecting our friends and family to come to the table as much as they did, but we actually have some randos as well that have joined, which is really interesting.
They're my friends and family.
Oh, they're your friends and family. Oh, that's right. So 48 glims.
No, that's their surnames, the Rando family.
Oh, the Rando family. It, yeah. So that's our first milestone. So we are going to chink. And you'll hear probably 3, 2. There
Salute.
It is. Salute. That's actually... It's been a long time since I've had a Fireball. And our second one, don't worry, we're not doing individual shots. we're not that loose. Our second one is that we wanted to surpass triple digit, and this may seem very low for some people, but we wanted to surpass 100 individual podcast plays, and we smashed that as well. We're actually well and truly over that now. So to over 100 podcast plays, once again, thank you, sir.
Cheers, everyone.
To all of you, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And cheers to you at home who are listening to this, because without you and without your support, we wouldn't be enjoying this generous helping of two fat fingers worth of shots of Fireball whiskey. And next time that we surpass our milestones, it'll be I'm gonna put Blake on the spot. You have to provide us with the drink of choice. So putting that one out there. Ralph, provide us with this one. So Blake, you're up next.
Prepare yourselves for some Tia Maria.
Would you like some tiramisu? Ooh, sponge cake.
I'll be down for that.
I get the feeling this is going to burn the back of my throat by the end of this episode.
So. I'm glad you said to sip it.
I was about to go, I could get a single malt whiskey. I see a single malt in here. I'm like, oh, that would be really, that'd be really...
Well, it is your home.
It is my home. And you are more than welcome in here. And so, you know, some of the things that we have had since that last time, obviously we have our website is now officially launched as well, which I'm really happy that's going as
looks
well.
Good.
As Yeah, I'm really happy. It was me that has made it all from the get-go, and as a foundation, I'm really happy with it.
Cheers, Ants.
Yeah, well done, Ants.
Cheers to everyone. Yeah, cheers, me.
Tricking that up.
To the messenger. it's going to be a fun night. Mm. And so we kicked off the fun night, though, having talked about our milestones and things, but I just wanted to ask you guys a question and see, you know, what has been, I know we're only in a few episodes, but what's been one of your favorite moments so far? Have you enjoyed, is there something that has stuck out to you so far in doing this? Or I just wanted to open up the question to you guys, because as having done most of the hosting duties, I know I talk a lot, but I know the people really like hearing, miss one person particularly, they love this guy. Hello.
Yeah.
Woo! They go wild for that guy. I mean, we do, so surely they do as well, right?
Yeah, we're getting bras in the mail.
We better let Blake go first, I suppose.
Well, definitely the famous Coke can incident. That was that will go down in history.
Why would you bring that up?
See, here's the thing. You brought up the Coke can incident, but no one in the podcast will have heard it yet.
This is such a meta joke.
If you make it all the way through to the end of this episode, you'll hear the Coke can incident that caused us literally to burst into laughter for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I got flustered, that's for sure.
That's all right.
No. But seriously, I've never done anything like this, but it's always... it's always been something that I've been interested in doing. You know, I've always thought about opening like a Twitch stream or a YouTube channel, or, you know, something similar of that nature.
Content creating.
Definitely. And it's, you know, something that I've never really explored, but I've been having a lot of fun these past few weeks, just sort of hanging out, talking about board games, which is a new hobby to me as well. And just sort of finding my own way through this experience as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's... the content creating side of this is the hard part, right? It's like it is work, right? But it's work that once we put down the legwork and the foundation, actually becomes a bit easier at this point. And then the next challenge will be, well, how do we want to increase this? Which is, do we actually want to do reviews in the future? Do we actually want to? I mean, Ralph, you did your first opinion piece. That was something as well
that has
happened. And I mean, look, that was a great, like, you know, I say opinion piece. This was your first kind of minor, like a written piece on Love Letter.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm, you know, English wasn't my topic of choice in school or anything like that. So, you know, essay writing and things like that wasn't really my jam, but love board games. And turns out I like writing about them too. So that was actually a lot of fun. But for me, honestly, the highlight of this sort of project of ours, like, is just getting to know you guys a bit more and spending time with you, because I don't really game in this group too much. And we're starting to do that more and more. And this is actually just a fantastic way to meet you guys and spend time with you all. And, you know, to be able to share that and then share this podcast with friends and family. And personally, I've always been some sort of content creator. I am definitely an extrovert with like stand-up comedy and going to board game events and things like that. So this is just fun for me, you know, such a blast.
Yeah. Coming into this, I mean, I reckon the first episode, it felt awkward talking into a mic and coming up with stuff.
Yeah.
We've found a rhythm really, really quickly. So there's been some moments where the discussion gets deep very quickly, and suddenly, like, oh yeah, I have some interesting thoughts myself about this. I'm not, you know, it's not just come along and having a bit of fun. There actually is a lot to talk about here. So the discovery that we've gone over the last seven episodes as a group or in our mixtures has been really, really cool. The gaming is fantastic. We've had some great laughs. And actually, I think that's probably the other thing. Weekly, it's nice to have a spot where you're going, yeah, we're going to have a couple of laughs here. Definitely. That's nice thing to look forward to.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I've really been enjoying actually going back through our the gateway games and the easier, lighter part of our collections. I really have been enjoying going, let's take guys who normally play big, heavy, thinky games and let's just chuck some lighter games in front of us and go, no, we're going to play this tonight. We're just going to play this game and just have a look and to see. And to realize, I'm like, huh, yeah, there's a lot of these games that I really want to that I want to play again, and I really like introducing to people. And I mean, yesterday, in terms of when we recorded a podcast last night, which was episode 7, so we're actually recording ones back to back. But I do want to just quickly shout out the fact that, you know, I'm learning new games from you guys. And more specifically, Ralph has introduced me to like 3 or 4 new games already that I'm like, huh, yeah, okay, I really like that. And for me, that's the eye-opening realizations of things that I have realized. I mean, I wrote this in one of our previous podcast documents, but we never talked about it. But I've realized why, having done this podcast, why I love board games. And I realized what it was. It's not the gaming. It was the really, it's the discovery of stuff. It's the discovery. It's the why I've been leaning towards this so much more than, say, like when, like why I realized I don't like, why I never like World of Warcraft at the moment, because I'm very much trying to do the efficient thing, because I'm like, I don't have the time, so I'm always trying to do the most efficient thing, and that has taken away the joy of the game. Whereas when I put a board game at the table and I know this is just a solitary 2-hour experience, my mind goes, oh, I can just discover and play and do, and all of a sudden, and here I am. It's going, I really wanted to do a podcast with my friends. And I mean, Ralph, we were only relatively new friends when we started, but I knew immediately when I was talking, I'm like, this is a dude that I want to play and talk with, because I know I can already tell very quickly.
And I had the same impression when I met Matt at his house, actually.
Yeah, not me, Matt.
Yeah, I actually met Matt. I met you first, but I really bonded with Matt initially.
He upgraded. That's
right. That's right.
Well, you are the old Glenn.
So I've got the Lego collection, but you've got the board game.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I've got both. So.
Yeah. See, but that's weird, because you've got the board game table. I mean, yeah.
We'll get to that one day.
Yeah, one day we'll play a game on it.
Yeah, definitely. But I actually want to know, like, because we've all gone through and talked about what our highlights were of this podcast, I actually want to know what our audience highlights are for that podcast as well. So maybe we can do a post on our Facebook and get people involved more, and just let us know, what do you think of the podcast? You know, what do you want to see more of?
Audience engagement on an audio podcast? That's a genius. It just
might. Yeah, it's like that moment the actor like looks at the camera. You know?
I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea, and I think you'll definitely see a post about this one come up before or after, or maybe both. Who knows, after this podcast comes out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's been great. It has been a lot of fun up until this point, and our first major milestone that we're on our way to is 20 podcasts. Like, we kind of set the goal early, so we'll let you know that this is one of our goals, is to get to 20. And the reason why we picked 20 is because we went, well, with weeks and Christmas and stuff, this will probably push us close to 6 months. And I think if we can commit to 6 months worth of consistent podcasting, I think we're well on our way to, you know, once a week and really, really shifting up, I think. So.
Yeah.
So speaking of speaking of fun times, we are having to re-record this because we just lost a bit of our audio. But we are going to move on to our gateway game of the week. And this week it is Llama, the card game. Or as I should say, it is L.L.A.M.A card game. It's not even the card game, it's just card game.
Yeah.
Llama card game. Card,
well, yeah, but I mean, it's, yeah, okay, cool, fair enough.
Llama Dama Ding Dong.
Any Jimmy Neutron fans out there? You know, I want to touch a llama.
Yeah.
Talk about throwbacks.
Love me some Jimmy Neutron. But I will say that, so the game is a 2019 Spiel des Jahres winner, which is Look, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I think I absolutely nailed those three words specifically. Yeah. Basically, this is an award that is only handed out to one game every year at a games convention in Essen in Germany. Basically, it is the award for the best game with the easiest to teach. Like, some of the, like, it can't just be a game. It has to be able to be taught within 5 minutes and have, like, there is some stipulations on how this game works. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the games that we have actually played and potentially will play in the future are Spiel des Jahres winners. Dominion is one, for example, that won it in 2009.
King Domino was
another one. Yes, there are a few others that we have played. So basically, if you get this award, it basically guarantees that you're going to sell 100,000 plus copies, basically, because everyone's like, well, we got to play that game. So, Matt, I'd like to pass this one over to you to give us a rundown on Llamas. We all played this game beforehand, and explain to everyone how this game works, and we'll give our thoughts on it afterwards.
Pressure's on to give my best my best Spiel des Jahres explanation.
Ooh,
yeah,
well, you know.
See if I can... Is it the actual rules of that, is it explained in less than 3 minutes, isn't it, or something?
I think 5 minutes, and you have to be playing within that time frame.
Within 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's like there's, it's like, it doesn't care about how long the rule book is. It's like you've got to be playing a game within 5 minutes. Right. I love that.
To completely new players as well.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I reckon this would be a deserving winner, that's for sure. We firstly described it as sexy Uno, because it's got some similar concepts where you're playing a coloured card, the numbered card on top of the same number, mm-hmm. or in this case, you're playing the next number in the sequence. Sequence is only 1 to 6, and you've also got some llama cards in there as well. So it's pretty simple artwork on the stuff. The llama is quite attractive, which we discussed.
he's very goofy looking.
It's I don't know. Yeah, is it a, I don't know, male, female, whatever it is. It's an interesting piece of artwork.
It's a non-binary llama.
But that's right. They are a very sexy llama. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you play the cards in turn order. You want to get rid of your hand of 6 cards onto the table and not be left with too many cards in your hands. Llamas are worth 10 points. Everything else is worth their face value. And essentially, you can pass out of the round by just putting your cards down. You will then collect that amount of points that you've passed out. Or you can play till you complete your hand. You've got to get rid of all of your cards. And if you're left with anything in your hand, you're stuck with the value of all those cards as well. So, it was a pretty simple card game to get up and running. I really enjoyed, obviously I won the game, so...
Matt, you did. Of course, no wonder you liked it.
So there's another landmark. I'll drink to that.
I just want to say about the scoring as well. It's actually like golf. The least amount of points is how you win the game.
Yeah, you want to have no points in your hand.
Yeah,
and I had no points at the end.
I played that very well.
Yeah, I do say so myself.
So you played the first round. So like the way that obviously Matt explained the scoring works, but it is played over a number of rounds. And so the game ends when someone hits 40 points. And trust me, you can hit 40 points.
I thought I was going to hit it in the second round. First round I got 24 points or something.
Yeah, so you hit a lot of big points, and then you just won. You won like 3 of the next 4 rounds after that, and then you kept going. And
by emptying your hand, you get to reduce your points by a chip. So
yeah. So as Matt kind of explained, you really only get to do 3 actions on your turn. It's either play a card, it's pick up a card, or it's pass out of the game. Those are the only 3 actions that you do. And this game can be played up to 6 players. We only did play with 4. Obviously, because there's the 4 of us here.
But Ralph's just pointed out as well, the box says you can play 8, like ages up.
Yeah, ages 8 up. Ages I thought it would have been lower than that, to be honest.
Well, no, like after last week's attempt with playing with the twins, I'd say 8 years is probably where you want to play it. The concept of playing, I've played Uno with the kids for a couple of years. They get that concept for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I think wouldn't say the advanced concept here, but looping back around, playing the same number or the number above, mm-hmm. right? That's not confusing, but it is something that kids would have to keep track of, right? And if they're just counting upwards, which is what most kids usually do, they might not get all those larger concepts. That's all.
Maybe the strategy of bowing out.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That particular mechanic of you can pass out of the round at any moment, that's the hard concept that the kids may struggle with at the initial, off the offset. Like, why would I want to get out of this round? Mm. Why is it better to take 2 points now than potentially take 12 points later? That's the big hit right there.
Yeah. And I think also the overarching concept of scoring in between rounds.
Yeah.
Of, you know, taking your score, what last round means to this round, you know, because it moves between, the scoring moves between the rounds.
Yeah.
And trying to keep your score low. Why do I want to bow out now, as you say, to compare to last round?
On the scoring subject, so the way that this game works is that there are two coloured tokens, white and black. White is worth 1, black is worth 10. And the way that this game works, this interesting scoring mechanic is twofold. One, which is any duplicate cards that you have in your hand are only worth the single value. So, like, if I had 3 fours in my hand, it's only worth 4 points. Whereas if I had a four, that's worth 9 points, right? But the second thing, which is, if you can clear your hand, you get rid of one token. And Matt, this happened to you, where I believe you had 9 tokens, and then you won the round. And so instead of being able to potentially get rid of 10 points, you only got rid of 1 or something.
Yeah. Worked out in the next round, but yeah. But I think on the age playing, a lot of games probably would be an 8-year-old game, like in this concert, where, as you said, Blake, where you've got this idea of rounds happening, where you've got to keep track of overall what's happening in the game, but also almost like little mini games that you're playing to get to the end of it. Whereas a lot of kids' games are very much, we start, we continue, we end, and that's the entire concept. So,
exactly.
I probably would play this with the kids. Probably be worthwhile taking it home tonight and seeing how they go on the weekend.
I think you should absolutely do that. Now, I would like to tell a story about this game, which is that I have actually taught this to my Georgie's deaf auntie. Now, she is deaf and she doesn't use a hearing aid. She speaks via mouth reading, like lip reading.
Yeah.
And so when we were on holiday over at Christmas time, I have taught her 2 games in my lifetime, and they can be a bit of a hard experience when you have to talk very slowly and you have to be very direct, and she has a bit of a hard time processing some stuff because she has to take what's going on. The first game that I taught her was Ticket to Ride.
Mm-hmm.
That one took us a bit too longer than I would have liked to. It took us about 2.5 hours to play a game of Ticket to Ride. It was a bit too long. However, we taught her this game, and this game we were able to knock out 5 or 6 games with her, and it only took us about 20 minutes. Now, she also did struggle understanding the concepts of why you should be bowing out and how the token works and all that kind of stuff. However, the fact that I was able to teach that to her, really, it means that she understood the color concept, she understood the numbering incrementation, and because it was so simple, again, we were able to get this game playing very simply. So it can be played by people. It's very accessible. I mean,
what's the difficulty rating? It's about 1.5, isn't it?
It's like 1.7 or something like that. Yeah. It's really not that hard. It was actually, I do want to point out, it is actually designed, this game was created by Rainer Knizia. Now, that name is, if you're not aware of that game, this man has basically, he's named as the Doctor in the board game, so because he is actually a PhD. He's Dr. Rainer Knizia. But he is actually, he's the guy who has created a lot of different games out there. I'm just going through the list of what he has.
My wife and I, we're currently playing My City at the moment.
My City, The Quest for El Dorado. There's a whole bunch of games.
Modern art is fantastic.
Is just the notable. This is his, modern art was his big one. High Society, Tigris and Euphrates. There's a whole bunch of ones here. He is very much known. And so this was basically, he said, I want to create a very simple card game for that anyone can play.
Well, he certainly accomplished that.
Blake, what did you think of the game, mate?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, like I said, we're up and playing within probably 2 minutes. Not even. It was very quick. The rounds were going very quick. I was terrible at this game, and the llamas were quite distracting, as Matt said.
I hadn't actually played this game since Christmas. Actually, the last time I actually played this game was when I taught Julie how to play this game. And since then, though, you were right. It took us 2 minutes to play. Now, there were a couple of rules where I'm like, oh, that's right, there's this one little exception and a couple of things, but it didn't stop us from playing the game straight up. Like, we were able to go, like, hey, here's your 3 things, here's what you do, so...
And look, even though there are, you know, concerns over like the scoring and, you know, that maybe be an advanced concept for those younger players, those are things that you could do away with. You could just play this like Uno and just play just a single game, you know, take out the bowing out part of it, take out the overarching scoring and just play whoever gets rid of their hand first.
Yeah.
And you could play that with anyone, really. And I mean, at that point, it almost just becomes Uno, but... that's a possibility with the game as well.
I would say I'd recommend this for small children playing games with like an 8-year-old kid, things like that. Personally, I wouldn't play it. Like my nieces and nephews, they're 13, 14. Like we much prefer to play a game like Six Nymph, things like that, for a simple card game. I will say a lot of these simple card games have the same problem. It doesn't fit in the box properly. So you have to have an elastic band around it. If not, cards go everywhere. If you put it in a bag, I hate that. Just make your box a little bit bigger.
We did the pet peeves in the last episode.
No,
right?
this one set me off.
You can have new pet peeves.
No, we're done with that. Moving on.
I've been drinking. You're seeing the real me now.
I will say, when Dean was explaining the rules, I had my phone out trying to find the content for tonight's thing. I was thinking, this is Nee's pet peeve right here. I'm on my phone while I was explaining the rules. But I was going, oh, no, I've got this. This one's fine.
You're fine. I was only a little bit peeved. That's fine.
Matt was on the phone. I asked questions. I knew it had already been explained.
Ralph was opening Coke bottles.
I was.
Pretty sure I said, is it my turn 4 times? It's, you know, we got them all out.
And to be fair, my wife did come and annoy us there at one point. Right. Love you, Georgie. She doesn't listen to this podcast. She admitted it to me on the way out, so she's fine. Like,
she's an active non-listener to the podcast.
Yeah, she just does it. All right. Well, that was Llama by Dr. Ryan and Canizia. And we are going to be moving away from that. Now we are going to be moving into our featured segment of tonight. And all four of us reach for our phones, our iPads, because we're going to need this one. So tonight, we are deciding to do something that has been done in the board game podcast scene, but I decided because NFL week is next week and Blake and myself are actually in an NFL fantasy draft, but we decided that it's time to do a board game draft. And so some of you, if you're listening, may have heard this done by the Board Game Barrage boys. They've also done it and introduced the Shut Up and Sit Down guys. They did a one at the All Shucks convention, and I saw that and I went, oh, God, I'd love to do that.
That was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what we are going to be doing is we are doing our Gateway Game Draft. So what that is, a draft is basically we have got a list of 150 games in front of us, which we have found from Board Game Gateway, Board Game Geek, and these are 150 Gateway games. The way that it works is each of us.
We're not going to read 150 games.
No, we're not going to go through the games. We're not going to explain them all. But we're going to essentially we need to put together the best 5 game collection to introduce to a new player, to a new person, right? Yeah. Now, the way that a draft works is that we go in a specific order, which we have here in front of us. I'll get it whilst I'm explaining it. And essentially, Matt is going to get first pick, followed by Ralph, followed by Blake, followed by me. That's going to be the first round, and then it's going to go back, me, then Blake, then Ralph, then Matt.
It's called
a snake draft, right? So Matt, you get the first pick, you get any pick you want, but whatever board game you pick, none of us can then have.
And I'll tell you what, at the end, when we're finished with the 20 games total, we're going to make a pokey rap style thing.
Oh, God, don't put that pressure on me.
I think I might be too old. What's a pokey rap?
Oh, don't.
Is it literally Pokemon rap?
Yes, that's exactly what that is.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm not that old then.
All right. But then what we're going to do is we're each going to have our five game collection, and then at the end of it, we're going to then explain to you why, as we go, we're going to explain why we picked the games that we picked. And then we're going to put those games onto Facebook and we're going to have you vote on who has the best collection. From there, we are then next, in the next podcast, we will reveal the results and we'll see who the people think had the best collection.
Just to clarify for the people at home.
Yes.
What is our team trying to actually become? Are we just wanting...
So basically, you basically want to have the best 5 games that someone who may not be huge into board gaming would want to play, or someone who is, like for ourselves, go, that's the collection I would want to show to a new player. That's what we're trying to do at the moment.
Okay.
So whatever you pick is up to you. I feel like I'm actually, you know, you may not be able to hear it right now, guys, but in my head, I can hear the NFL theme song just absolutely kicked into full gear. It just absolutely is my, and don't worry.
Just splice it in.
Oh, don't worry. It's already playing. it's already playing over the top of us. Copyright be damned. We're not making money off this yet, so it's all good. So, Matt, with that, there is one exception, which is we are all allowed to pick one game that is not on this list. That is the only exception.
So where'd the list come from?
So the list came from Board Game Geek. I basically searched for best gateway games, and I from up to 2022, and I found a couple of good lists, and I amalgamated them together. I also went through a couple of other things. We'll put the full list on our website so people could see what we could have picked from, and then we will actually have the list of what we actually are picking from. Right. So and what we are picked. So and with that, our draft is now going to begin. Matt, you are first pick. You're the round 101. You're 101. Pick one. You have got 2 minutes on the clock, sir. You can have as long as you want.
I know. I know where I'm heading.
You're going to have to explain. You pick. Take your pick, and then you explain why you picked that, and we'll go from there.
All right. My opening pick is Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity. It's fine. No. Wait a minute. It's his pick. Let him defend himself.
Okay. Shit collection.
This is the Have some more of the fireball, please.
No.
Cards Against Humanity
has to be in the collection. It's a game that you can pull out at any time. It's a game that gets people talking. You don't even have to play it to talk about it. Your mom can play it and you can get her to say some rude words. Everyone loves that. That's hilarious. Sure, it spawned a bajillion unlicensed ripoffs. I gave my dad The Simpsons Against Humanity, and it's a terrible version of Cards Against Humanity. Certainly would never have been licensed by Fox, that's for sure. But it's out there in the public domain for some reason.
I would love to see that.
That's all right. All right, we're not going to bag out everyone's picks right away.
No, you can bag it out. That's
fine. We'll save it until we have our full collection, and then
We'll talk.
Don't worry, it's coming. It's coming.
I know my audience, okay? So you guys go for your board game people. I'm going to go for the people who...
I'm choosing Twilight Imperium.
That's fine. All right, with pick one in the first round, Cards Against Humanity is off the board. Ralph, you are on the clock, sir.
Oh, man. I tell you what, I've narrowed down my list. I have not ranked them because I don't know what you guys are going to take. And, you know, if you're still my number one, I'm going to be upset.
you got to pick it. Come on. What do you got?
All right, I'll go my number one as being The Crew.
Ooh.
Quest from Planet Nine.
Yep, Ralph takes his first pick.
Strategy card game for I think 2 to 5 players. We played it at 4, and it's just a fun game where you're silent and you're all critically thinking, you're all working out the puzzle individually but also together. It's just an all-around great, fantastic card game. Love to show new people this game, even if you don't complete the campaign all the way to the end.
It's basically cooperative 500. It's a cooperative trick thing. It's pretty good. I really enjoy it.
Cooperative
that's
card
a good
game.
Pick. I really enjoy that. It's a really
so,
good pick.
So good.
All right. That's an interesting first pick from you. And now we move to round one, pick 3. Blake, you are on the clock with your first pick.
All right. Well, I think my first pick is going to be in a similar vein to Matt's, in that it's a card game, simple, that you can play. In this game, I first saw it at GoobaCon when I first came. And it's honestly just impressed me with how easy to play. And it's The Mind.
Oh, that's a really good first pick.
It's just such a solid game. You know, you have, when I saw at the table, there were, you know, of all ages, down from, you know, 5, 6, all the way up to, you know,
I think 60s,
70s, exactly, 1 to 100. It's just such a simple game that anyone can pick up and play, and just the moments that it creates are just...
It is tense. I find the Ninja Star is really hard to teach sometimes, but it's such a rewarding game.
Definitely.
When you nail it.
Love it. All right. With that pick, which is interesting...
It's a powerful opener.
I'm looking at this going, so I'm on the turn here, so I get pick 4 and pick 5. So I'm just thinking about what you guys
this
have
is
all
Nee,
gone.
This is where Nee gets one for himself and one to screw someone else over.
So right, actually going to go...
In what order, though?
I'm looking at some of the games that are here and going, I don't know, because this is the thing about being the first and last pick, Matt, which is that there is 7 picks between my pick and your next pick. So that's why I've got to be careful about what I'm going to go here. And I think I'm going to open up with my first round pick. I'm going to go Unlock. I'm going to go the Unlock the Escape Room board game, which is, we have so many of these. We have literally had them since a long time. Now, we've only just put the single Unlock franchise in here because there are so many of them. But essentially, it is an escape room in a box that plays in about an hour. And we did this at GoobaCon where we had the escape room where we basically said, here's all of our escape rooms, pick one. Okay, good, you're playing now, and shut the door on everyone for an hour. And then you weren't allowed to come out until the escape room was finished. I think if I was going to introduce someone to board gaming, I mean, the fact that I can go, do you know what an escape room is? Great, we're going to do a board game version of it, and I think I can get them in. I think it's going to be my first pick. So that's my first pick off the board, and then I come into pick number two here, and I really have to... This is actually where I think is my hard pick, where I look at some of these games going, I don't know what is going to be coming back to me. So I think what I'm going to be going here is I'm going to go with a relatively new one, and I'm going to pick with my second pick. So the first pick of the second round, I'm going to be picking Just One. One is...
God damn it.
Because it is literally one of those games
this guy's playing to win.
I think we all scratched that off our list.
Yeah. I think we all... Because Just One is basically a game that we have chatted about on the podcast, but it is such a simple game. It's a cooperative game. I feel like I need to get a game that can get everyone to say, hey, we're not just against each other. We can play with each...
We should gateway game this one.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. We definitely will. That is absolutely on the... It's on the list of all the gateway games that we need to go through. But Just One is going to be my second round pick because I wanted a game that would allow me to have a cooperative experience. So we'll talk about that more when we get to see our complete lists.
Mm-hmm.
Blake, with you, though, your second pick of the second round, you're on the clock, sir.
All right. Well, the other game that always impressed me right from my first play, and which is a game I haven't actually played in person, but I would absolutely love to. Can't stop. I've talked about it before, but
good pick.
It's just such, again, so simple, so easy to teach, so easy to play, but again, this creates those really high moments where you're just going and going until you can't stop, basically. It's
we've now all played it, and we all now understand how good of a pick that is.
I've been addicted to it of late. It's really good.
All right, that's a really good second pick, and with that we come to Ralph for your second pick.
All right, this is tough. Some really good choices already. Man, I think I just got to go the simple love letter.
Classic,
where you get two cards, you do your one action, and it's just a bit of deception in a way, a bit of a guessing game, and you're knocking each other out, trying to be the last person surviving to win the point. Very simple card game. Played it so many times in my lifetime at cafes, like just anywhere. It's so quick to carry with you. Highly recommend people play this. I love teaching this game to people.
That's awesome. All right, Matt, we come to you for your second round pick and your third round pick. You get two in a row here. So has obviously, other than Just One, is what are you still got on the board there that you still want?
Well, it seems like everyone's now kind of changed their tact as to how they're approaching these.
Never changed my tact.
You have. My second pick is going to be Quirkle.
I've never heard Quirkle.
So Quirkle's a great game, especially in family situations. Good one where you can... It's a little puzzle builder, essentially. Kind of got a little bit of old-school Rummy Cub feel to it, where it's colours and shapes. But it's a game that plays really quickly, learns really quickly. You can shaft other people without realising it or on purpose.
I do enjoy that.
That's right. Everyone enjoys a good shafting. And it's been, I think we've had this in the family now for good on 5 or 6 years now, and it comes out regularly at our house. So
nice.
It has to be on the list.
Well, you also get another pick as well.
God, I wasn't ready for another pick.
You get two in a row, Quirkle, pick number two, and you're back on the board for your next pick.
I think I'm going to have to go with Queen Domino or King Domino. Which are they both on the list?
They are both on the list. They are absolutely, because they are separate games.
Well, I'll put it as King Domino. That's the one that we played.
The original one.
Simply because I knew Blake would want it. But also, that's one I've only played the one or the two rounds that we played a couple of weeks ago. I really enjoyed it. It'll be something that, once again, in the family sense, I could play with the kids. So I think that's been my entire approach really over over this draft will be, you know, what my collection would be if I were to play with the family, take away on a holiday kind of games.
Love it. I think that's a great selection that you've got there going. All right. So with that, we are now well and truly into the third round, and we come back to Mr. Ralph.
This is going quite quickly.
I know. I told you this would be good. Now, I don't know if anyone's going to use their wild card yet, or we're all saving that to the fifth round.
I want to steal other people's picks. I want a good shafting. I mean, I want to shaft someone else. Sorry, that came out wrong. That's what she said.
I'll get
Okay, so I'm going to keep my theme here. My first two picks were good, solid card games. My third one is much the same. It is going to be Cockroach Poker. Mainly because I love lying to people. I do it just because, and just to see if I can get away with it sometimes, and that's the perfect game for it. I played this game with my dad, and the premise of the game is you slide a card face down to someone, you tell them what it is, and that could be a truth or a lie. And there's so many suits in the game. One of the suits is definitely not a snake. There's no snake in the game. And my dad passed a card to me and said, "Ralph, that is a snake." And I tell you what, that memory alone just has to be in my top 10 of board game things that happened to me. So Cockroach Poker is definitely up there for me.
Love it. Oh, I love it. That's great. All right. That's his third pick. And we move now to Blake for your third pick. Look. So there's some good collections here I can see coming through. So we got some good ones coming.
So my first two were definitely nice and easy, simple to teach games. But we all know that I'm a board gamer at heart. And nice. At some point, I'm going to have to get a board here on the table.
We're getting to the juicy end now.
I've gone easy. This one is a little bit on the harder side, but still one of those gateway games, Ticket to Ride.
I thought Ticket to Ride was coming out now. I was like...
It's just such a, you know, it introduces people to the idea of having board and pieces and figurines and be able to play with those. It's got the card element that people are familiar with. Nice and easy to teach. Doesn't play too long. And who doesn't like playing with trains?
Choo-choo, motherfucker.
Exactly.
Choo-choo.
Yep, this episode definitely has the expletive tag.
I just assumed, sorry.
Yeah, bleep it out.
We're drinking alcohol on here.
You're not my real mum. All right, now it's up to me at the end of the third, and so I get my pick here, and there's actually some really hard choices, because I realise I'm only allowed three more games in my collection, and I don't know which specific ones. There is one that I keep coming back to, and I'm going to pick it now because I don't know if it'll come back. I'm going to pick the game with my third pick. I'm going to pick Cash and Guns. Now, Cash and Guns is a game that I did a print and play version of this, but the actual version of Cash and Guns comes with foam guns that you point at each other. And Cash and Guns is essentially a bluffing game where it's like, hey, one of us is the boss, and then we all, like there's treasure, and, like, we've all gone on a heist, and then we get into a Mexican standoff. And there is nothing funnier than seeing your mum pull a foam core gun and just point it at you and go, "Sorry, I want to kill you now." And at any point, it's just, I think this game will just, it just, for giving people a prop to play with, this is, like, people are not used to, like, oh, I can actually point this. It's not actually a gun. It has the silhouette of a gun, for those of you listening, please. But it's honestly a great game, and I think I needed something that would give those silly moments. And then moving on from here, I look at what my collection is currently, and I go, I do think I'm missing something which I do really like. And I really think...
You need a fullback.
I really think
he's got a couple of good wingers. Now he needs a fullback on the team.
I do, and I think Matt's not going to be happy with me because I need a roll and write.
No,
I need a roll and write in my collection, and I don't have one.
Oh no, you're not going to do it.
You know what's coming. That's pretty clever. It's going into my collection at the top of the fourth, and because of
you just ruined my season, right?
There's a tear coming from Matt's eye just now.
Took
I can see
away
it.
From me, and now my team is completely ruined. Oh no, I got to go. That's pretty clever. I need a roll and write in my collection, and I think there's nothing better than that one at the moment. There are other ones in there, but I do think this is probably the best one that I could probably go with. So,
well, to be fair, you showed Matt this game.
I did. Yeah. I did. And
that doesn't mean anything. that's just a bullshit excuse for anything.
You wanted it, you could have taken it. We've been talking about it
literally since we played it, right? Solid weeks of me playing this game, teaching other people.
I'm surprised you didn't take it at 101.
You took Cards Against Humanity, man.
Yeah, you did take Cards Against Humanity in the first pick.
Mistakes have been made.
When the vote is cast, I'm winning this goddamn thing because of Cards Against Humanity, I guarantee it.
I will say there is a good chance that will pay out for you in the long run. But in saying that, we do have to move down into the fourth round, second pick. Blake, it is with you. You are on the clock.
Oh no, I'm not sure if I'm just ready yet.
Well, you've got to.
Look, I've been tossing up over this one because I've definitely got my fifth one that I'm bringing in, but I definitely have my gripes with this game, and I did express them on the night when Ralph brought it. But I'm a sucker for them high highs as my first two picks, and I've got to go with Galaxy Trucker.
Oh wow! I was not expecting you to pick shit. That one up.
Like I said, I have my gripes with it, but for what the game it was easy to teach, it was easy to play, and I don't think I've had anywhere near as much fun as putting together those spaceships and people turning those hourglasses and just...
Was that the last time the last game that we all played together?
I think so. When I first played that game, I was just blown away as well, and I could not wait to play it again.
Yeah, so definitely since that night, I've been thinking about it.
Solid, and unexpected. Completely unexpected, but well done on that. All right, we move now to pick 403, the third pick of the fourth round. Ralph, you are on the clock.
Okay, I'm going to go with another card game because I actually expected someone to take this one, but maybe we don't have many big fans here. But Anomia.
Oh, I was looking at Anomia, I didn't know.
So Anomia is just an incredible game. You don't even have to be a gamer to play it. You have one deck in the middle of the table. You can play, I think, with six people. You grab the card, put it face up in front of you, and there's a word and a symbol. And essentially, if someone else on their turn takes reveals a card and it's the same symbol as the one on your card, you just have to yell out a word that's on their card. Like if their card just says car and you say Volkswagen, you get the point. It's just so simple. Everyone's engaged the entire time you're playing it through. I've shown this to so many people. So many people that you think are like a little bit slow on the personal level, like they're intelligent people, but they're quick at that game.
Yeah.
My goodness, it's just so many people have just blown me away playing this game. So Anomia, definitely check that out. This is one of
those games at a GoobaCon. I remember just putting, like, Georgie, my wife, took it to a table that I didn't even know of people that were playing. And I just came out and they were just playing this game and laughing and yelling at this game. So
the laughter this game generates is unreal.
It's a very strong pick. And then, Matt, we come to you with...
Four
and five. This will round out your collection.
Right, four... is Code Names.
Oh, yeah, that's a powerhouse pick right there. That's a very good pick.
This one actually has licensed editions that are still in the same genre, so unlike Cards Against Humanity, which had so much stuff going on. And I have to tell a very brief story about why I'm picking this one.
Please do.
Firstly, this is a game that I think, in the same way as Galaxy Trucker, it annoys me. When I've played this game, I've got more bad memories of this game than I do good memories, but I really enjoy the bad memories of this one, the frustration and the angst. But we played this at work once with a lady who, for no fault of her own, just didn't get games. She was the clue giver in the first round. We were just playing the pictures code names, and her first clue was shape. Literally every card has a shape of some sort, a circle, a square, a triangle, there's something. And I'm like, that gives me nothing. How many numbers are we going for? Is she three or something? I've pointed to a card and it was the death card.
Like the assassin.
First round of this game, and I walked out, right? I left the office. I was so cranky. And as soon as I pointed, I see why you would have picked that one. I'm like, it's a fucking shape!
Was the word square?
I don't know. I can't even remember what the clue actually was. But anyway.
It was probably shape.
It probably was. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, Codenames is a solid game. That's absolutely amazing.
And my last pick, I'm tossing up... To round out my collection of, as I said, my theme of taking games away for a holiday, and I'm thinking I'm going to use my wild card to bring Space along with
you. You don't even need a wild card. It's on the list.
It's on the list?
It's on the list.
Oh, mate. Five from five. I didn't know if... It's already there.
Space. Take it.
Once again, I haven't won a game of that, but every time we've played it, and I've only played it on... Oh, no, we did play it live. We played it here.
We did crack it out. We are after the podcast.
That's right, and where Blake finally got his
the insta-win.
Insta-win.
In history.
But yeah, that would be a game that I could round out a night with once the kids have gone to bed and for people who don't want to play the party games have petered out. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom, myself, my dad, we could probably gather around and you know, get a craps table going with Space.
Yeah, easy done. All right, then we move to Ralph, your final pick. Is he going with one on the list, or what are you bringing in?
No, this one's definitely not on the list. I had some backups just in case you guys stole my ones, but this one's definitely not on the list. So I mentioned this game on the podcast before, and I played this on my birthday with about...
I know what's coming.
Yeah. I played this on my birthday with about 14, almost, I'll say 12 of them were completely new players, and the opening script of this game is definitely a gateway. But the game is Blood on the Clock Tower.
Mm-hmm.
I am absolutely enthralled with this social deduction behemoth of a game. But it's absolutely incredible. You know, halfway through the game, everyone was getting it. The game itself went for, our game went for 2 hours, but they can, you can knock them out so much faster than that. And that's not dependent on the skill of the players. It's just amazing. Everyone came out of their shell during the game. I've played this game with complete strangers at a pub. And by the end of it, you're like best of mates. You're laughing about what happened. And 10 minutes later, you jump into the next game. I'm actually being spoiled this weekend. On Thursday night, I'm going to the Powerhouse Museum, playing this game at a big conference, hopefully many times, meeting some, hopefully some celebrities there, celebrities for board games, that is.
the designer of Blood on the Clock Tower will be there.
They're still celebrities in this realm.
That's true. We're celebrities as well, you know. We've got 100 plays.
We're the 17th ranked games podcast in Australia. Go us, apparently, for this month.
So I'm playing it on Thursday night. Friday night, I'm running an event at Ingleburn Bowling Club, playing this game with people of the public. And I'm playing this game at a friend's 40th birthday on Saturday. Absolutely amazed with this game. Can't wait to play more of it. Can't wait to show more people this game. I would say it's my number one, but I kind of wanted to keep this one in my back pocket to get all my other real gateway games out there.
It's definitely a game that I'd really need to play. I mean, I've played one night. I've played, you know, it was game Town of Salem, which is mostly the same.
Basically, it's Mafia. It's the same thing.
But online, but... there are always games that I've had gripes with, which this game seems to solve.
Because you don't die. You still, if you die in the game, you're still in the game.
Yeah.
You can still talk. You still figure out the puzzle. It's incredible.
All right. That's a big pick. And then from there we go to Blake for your final pick.
All right. Well, this one I'm also pulling from my back pocket. It's a game that I've played only once, but it definitely left an impression on me. Very similar in the vein of Anomia. Just a little bit, one step up on the scale, I'd say. And it's The Chameleon.
I've never played that.
It's basically the same sort of deal. Very quickly, it's one person's deception game, one person's a chameleon, everyone else is a regular player.
Have you played the Faker on Jackbox? If you've played I've
played them, but I can't remember.
If you've played the Faker, you've played the Chameleon. Yeah. That's what it is.
Everyone gets a set of card. Like a 3x3, I think it is.
Yep.
3x3 card with some associated words on it. And active player rolls 2 dice, which gets...
And the chameleon gets nothing?
Well, the chameleon gets a card, but it's different to everyone else's.
I see.
So the chameleon has to try and figure out what everyone else's word is.
Yep.
And try to fit in. And if by the end of once everyone's rolled their dice and gone, they have to pick out the chameleon. If they do, they win.
It's kind of like a simpler version of Spyfall, which is where everyone gets given the location and a role at that location, and the spy just gets, you're the spy.
Mm.
And that's it. You just have to try and figure out where you are based on...
And again, same as Ralph, I like lying to people. I like those deceit games, those trying to, you know...
You're figuring it out, that puzzle together.
That puzzle, exactly.
Everyone's a team and working it out.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. It's a game you can knock out very quickly, a lot of different rounds, and it just it brings a lot of fun to the table.
Yeah, my wife plays Faking It. The rules are a bit different, but...
Oh my god!
She usually tunes out after an hour of the podcast. After an hour, if she hasn't gotten a mention, she's going to bed. No. So you're fine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wow. My god.
I just go, come on, my friends and I, we're going to list our top 20 board games. It's your win.
Felt that from here.
Oh, we love you, Tina. You're
and this was the last podcast that Ralph joined us on.
Oh, wow. Okay, now to awkwardly move us on to my fifth pick. All right, for the last pick of this draft, I'm actually not going
to
pull...
See if you can insult your wife while we're at it as well.
I think it was more an insult to me, to be fair.
That... she can hear me. I'm actually not going to pull from my back pocket. I'm going to go, shut up. It sounded like, I'm not going to pull. Well, I hope not. I'm going to go for one of the lists, and this one was a toss-up. I was either going to go Sheriff of Nottingham, which is basically bullshit.
Hey, except... you don't get two picks. You pick
no,
one.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I was going to go this one. It was a toss-up between this one, A Sheriff of Nottingham, which is basically bullshit but themed for Robin Hood, but I'm not. And I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to go with The Quacks of Quedlinburg.
Yeah, so I thought you'd go for that.
For my fifth pick. And I think it's one of those games that it is not going to leave my collection for two reasons. One, it's called The Quacks of Quedlinburg. And two,
such a stupid name. It can't leave.
You know what? They call him Skinny Pete, right? Because he's got a big nose. What does that even mean? But the main reason is because the game itself is basically I wanted a push your luck greed style game like Can't Stop, and essentially this game gives everyone that satisfaction of playing with this the push your luck style of game, whereas everyone pulls from their bag and sees how they go. I've talked about it before in the podcast, but I only ever play Quacks where everyone simultaneously reveals and actually shows each other. That is actually only in the game supposed to be done on the last round. Mm-hmm. I think it should be done the entirety way of the game. If it's not done, it loses something. But that's what I'm going to go with. And so with that, we are going to have a look at everyone's picks. Here we go. Matt, you had Cards Against Humanity, Codenames, King Domino, Quirkle, and Space Base. Ralph, you had Anomia, Cockroach Poker, Love Letter, The Crew, and Blood on the Clock Tower. Blake, you had Can't Stop, Galaxy Trucker, The Mind, Ticket to Ride, and The Chameleon. And I had Cash and Guns, Just One, The Quacks of Quedlinburg, That's Pretty Clever, and Unlock, the Unlock board game, the Escape Room board game. Some interesting collections there, gentlemen. Matt, I have to admit, I like your theme of taking away on a holiday, but what the hell was Cards Against Humanity pick one off the board?
Yeah, can you talk us through Cards Against Humanity?
As pick one...
Please don't.
I'm genuinely curious.
It is a good all-rounder, right? And when I looked through the list, I was thinking that stuck out as something that might be on people's list as a spec filler, right? As we're playing it and you go, all right, shit, my turn's coming up and I need something... Surely that would be something that you know. It's something that everyone's played. Even people who hate board games and don't listen to this podcast, they're jerks, they would have played that game and loved it.
Yeah.
So it just made sense to jump. And plus, as I said, it can be rude, it can be crude. You can play it with 50 people if you really wanted to.
I don't.
No, please don't. No more than five or six. I've played it at eight and even that was way too much. I understand the pick. I understand why.
Look,
I don't agree with it. I don't have to like it.
I've got a very similar game in my collection called Pick Your Poison, and essentially it's the same sort of cards where you get one bad option and the other one's a worse option, and you got to try and split the room.
Yeah.
So it's very similar vibe to that, but I find it's a lot more hit rather than miss with the group because it's still a game in that.
I think as well, from my perspective, the theatrical side comes out, right? So when you're playing with people who have the delivery on the cards, it's a lot more funny than if you're just playing with, that standard Joes.
I will say, I do agree that this is a game that you can get people in without realizing they're playing a board game. People say, is it actually a game? It's like, yes, it's a party game. It's fine. I agree. The one that does stand out for me, Blake, is your Galaxy Trucker pick. I honestly did not expect you to pick Galaxy Trucker. I respect it.
It's on the list, though.
It's a fun game.
It was a toss-up. And my other pick, which I think would have been more what you were expecting, and it was definitely my special mention, is Coup.
I was surprised you didn't pick Coup.
I do love me a game of Coup. And the only reason I didn't pick it is, look, maybe I'm just a terrible board game teacher. I've never successfully gotten this to the table and taught people and had them enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just seem to be just that little bit one layer too deep for some people. Iconography and all, it just seems to turn some people off straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, normally it's definitely up there as one of my favorite games, but as a gateway game and getting people into it.
Exactly.
Chris is not going to like the fact that you didn't pick Coup and you said that, because that's Chris's favorite game is Coup. My brother.
Chris can teach it.
It's got It's got the same vibe as that political one we played, right? Mm-hmm. If you get
Corridors
a bad run of cards, you don't enjoy that first game. Yeah. It's really tough to then come back to.
You need to learn to bluff.
That's the thing, right? If you're playing with new people to a new game, and their first, you know, we talked about this, their first instance with the game is, oh, not only did I lose, but I felt like as soon as we started playing, I was always going to lose.
Yeah.
It makes it rough.
And I feel like with Love Letter, there's just that little bit, there's the bluff game to it, but there's also,
it's a softer side to it.
It's very simple.
And it's a bit more of a bit more puzzly, where, you know, this card beats this card and sort of, you know, you're drawing through the cards rather than these are my cards, they're set. And I feel like some people don't quite get the bluffing part of it.
That's correct. Yeah.
They just, I've only got the captain, so I can only do that action. Like,
No, you can do anything.
Exactly. So it takes, I think it takes the right people to get it to the table. And when it's at the table, it's absolutely fantastic. One of my favorite games, but
teaching a new player, it's
that's the reason I had to go Galaxy Truckers. I think as a game, just getting people to the table, that's going to elicit a lot more fun from people and a better response.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. One game I'm glad that's actually in our collections is Quacks of Quedlinburg, because I swear, I feel like every second episode of this, someone mentions Quacks. And I'm like, surely we've all got that at home.
Right? I feel like looking at my collection, I go, is my collection the basic bitch of this collection? And it almost feels like
just one, and that's pretty clever in the same run.
Yeah, but obviously they were for different purposes, right?
I get it.
Just One is the cooperative game. That's Pretty Clever was my Roll and Write. Cash and Guns was because I think it's a hilarious game where you get to point a gun at people. And anything that puts people in a situation where they don't normally think of a board game of doing that. Like, hey, we're going to do Mexican Standoff, the board game. I think that's fantastic. I will say, Ralph, The Crew. Whilst I love The Crew, I actually tried teaching this game to my wife and my cousin, both of whom love playing Up and Down the River. They love playing 500 trick-taking games, and this one bounced right off them. They did not think that they did not find their way into this game. They're like, they understand trick-taking, and they understand that, hey, like the mind, you're not allowed to talk in this game, but they bounced right off this one, you know, much like that. It just did not click. Even though they understood what they were trying to do, they're like, this isn't appealing to me of trying to do a cooperative trick taking. They would much rather be trying to win the trick if that was the case. And they just seem to bounce right off of it.
That game for me, the simpler levels are just literally very simple. But at like mid game, it starts to get really complex and you're stuck with that same challenge and you beat that together as a team after failing 5-6 times. It is so rewarding. I didn't like the second version of this game.
Deep Nine.
It's like Deep Sea. They went underwater with it. But essentially, the mission gets reshuffled after you lose. So it didn't really have that same grind for it. But
I will ask the question, though. Do you think that particular grind, though, where you say, well, the success of the mid game, to get to the mid game would take you about 4 hours.
But the thing is, you can just skip it. You can just start from level 20 if you want.
That is true. But I also do feel like people who are new to the board game, they would probably go, well, I have to start at level 1 and try to get their way through. And
if they're smashing it, why not just, you know. No one's going to know.
Looking at the list, I think every one of us has picked a group of games that reflects our own upbringing with games and really where we sit with things. Like, I've gone very anti-competitive in a lot of ways, right? There's not a lot of backstabbing in my games because that's not my style of game
at all. I've noticed that, yeah.
It's interesting how we've...
Yeah, like quirky games, as he says, as he has Quirkle in his list.
See, I love to see people... how they're not normally. Like, I love a puzzle, so a lot of my games are really puzzly. A lot of my games revolve around laughter, and Blood on the Clock Tower's got a bit of all of that, and also it's got that thing where you put someone in the position where you're like, I think Matt's the demon, I'm gonna nominate him, and then he has to defend himself and turn that around just using conversation. You know, there's no facts there. There is sometimes, but a lot of time you see people under pressure, and it's quite fascinating to see.
All right, well look, we could argue about our collections all night, but I think realistically...
We have to turn it over to the people here.
So on our Facebook page, once this podcast goes live, there is going to be a post that's going to be pinned at the top of our Facebook group with these collections there. And it's up to you to decide who actually has the collection. Now, from a voting standpoint, it can be which one you think you just like the most, which one you would like to play, or if you are no board games, what is the collection that you would like to introduce to a player? Take your pick. We want to hear from you. You're the one who's going to determine which one of us is going to take the inaugural victory of this draft. And this is not the only thing we're going to be doing that's competitive. We are going to come up with some different maybe some more drafts for different variations, but also different competitive aspects from this point. So
I want to hear what the viewers think. If we can get the list out there, we can see what the viewers' top five games are.
Yeah.
And maybe, who knows, maybe we'll bring back the Glen Bros tourney, Matt, and maybe actually do a board game knockout and actually do a live stream one night and go, these are the games, what would you rather play or something, who knows. Maybe we'll do that. But those lists will be live there, so we'll go through them one final time. Matt had Cards Against Humanity, Codenames, King Domino, Quirkle, and Space Base. Ralph had Anomia, Cockroach Poker, Love Letter, The Crew, and Blood on the Clock Tower. Blake had Can't Stop, Galaxy Trucker, The Mind, Ticket to Ride, and The Chameleon. And I had Cash and Guns, Just One, The Quacks of Quedlinburg, That's Pretty Clever, and the Unlock series. I got to admit, my Cash and Guns pick, I think it's letting me down. I'm not confident in it.
That's a really good game.
It's a good game, but I don't know if it'll get me there in the end. But anyway, with that, that's going to pretty much bring us to the end of this episode. We've had our chat, we've had our draft, we've had our Fireball whiskey. Maybe we'll have another one. Who knows? Maybe.
Well, I mean, we've got to drive home.
It is. Well, yeah.
As long as Ralph's not pouring them.
Yeah, exactly right. So, look, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this episode. We do want to remind you that we do have a website, www.boardgamegateway.com. There you can find all of the links to our Facebook, Discord, YouTube, our Twitch channel, which we are planning on doing some live streams in the near future, and YouTube for that matter. So have a look into there. We would love you if you long time. Whatever that. Yes.
All right. So now it's your turn.
They took my mojo.
It took me an hour and 22 minutes, but we finally got there. We would love it if you were to go and check out our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/boardgamegateway.
And share with your friends.
Yeah, please share this with your friends. Exactly right. On behalf of myself, I'd like to thank you, Ralph.
Okay.
I'd like to thank you, Blake.
You're welcome.
And he's got a new pin. It's a new pin. And Matt, well, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Neil.
My pleasure, guys. This is one of the highlights of my week. I love it. Anyway, on behalf of all of us, we're going to say thank you, goodbye. Vote Cheerio. For me, not these other guys. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Can I drink my Coke now?
Yeah. I got to go back.
I'm not hosting today.
No, you're not hosting. That. I'm going to say,
last week was an absolute disaster.
No, it was great. Really liked it. But I'll host this week, but you're on llama duty. Just so.
What the fuck is llama duty?
Just played llama.
What's the llama?
Just played llama. You're on llama duty, all right?
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 8 of the Board Game Gateway podcast. The Board Game Gateway, where we aim to be... did you have to crank that?
I was going to say, great timing on the sound of this. Excuse me.
Are
we recording yet?
We've been recording for the past 12 minutes.
Play the beat.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, shit, the lava's out. Hang on.
Oh, God.
Could you see the...
Just like, do I continue with this and not let it go? Or do I just let it? No, we all cranked. We all lost it.
Oh, God. Well,
right.
Thanks for tuning in for episode 8. See you in episode 9.
The funniest thing is you can edit this. We could just go, restart. It was right at the start.
Better leave it in.
We are going to restart because this has made the blooper. This is the blooper. This is the blooper.
Well, no, because let me explain myself. We're sitting here. We played a game for half an hour. The can of Coke was still sealed. I was like, what if I want a drink? I'll just open it.
But you also... You didn't. In the middle of it. You could have just said, hey...
You could have moved the can away.
I did.
A whole bunch of things.
I could see your thought process and just...
you would stuff it. I'm committing. I'm committing.
Fuck it. We're going in.
I'm committing to it. All right. Let's all get our shit together. Let's do this.
We'll get it right at some point. Oh,
good.
God.
That was good. All right.
Take two.
This is fucking serious, alright?
I'm sorry.
That's like a moment. It's fine. Look, this is premium content right here.